produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Hello and welcome to Power Up Your Family. This is Richard Floyd once again with you, and we are so excited to have you listening to our show this time. This is being recorded on Sunday, April the 14th, which in the Christian world is known as Palm Sunday. Now, it's an interesting week that we have ahead of us as we think about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the amazing events of this week. It's rather amazing when you think about here he was entering into Jerusalem on this very day and was being celebrated and hailed and honored and having praises of Hosanna and all kinds of adulation in his behalf as he rode into Jerusalem. And yet before the week was hardly over, the people turned against him and he was crucified. What an amazing turnaround. As I ponder the events of this week, I am mindful that as a believer in Jesus Christ, this is a time of the year when it seems to me we have a chance to draw even closer to the Savior. Now, we celebrate a lot during the Christmas season as we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And yet, if it were not for this week and the events of his atonement and his resurrection, Christmas would not be a significant holiday. It would have just been the birth of another child in Bethlehem. But because of what the Savior of the world accomplished this week, we celebrate the life, the ministry, and the atonement and the resurrection of a man named Jesus, the only begotten Son of our Father in heaven. As we read in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. What a profound declaration, and what a great blessing that is for each of us. As I have pondered about this week, I have come from the last few days of an extraordinary experience. I've been going at a very, very fast pace, 18, 20 hours a day for several days in a row, working very diligently with some amazing people. As I mentioned on our last program, this week that's just passed and in the coming week, we of the Memphis area have been very blessed to have the renovation and the remodeling of the Memphis, Tennessee Temple of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has been completed, and we've been experiencing an open house for the public. The last few days, Saturday, April the 13th, was the beginning of the public tours, and it seemed as if Noah would have been well appreciated because we had so much rain, and it was amazing. And in spite of all that rain we had in Memphis on April the 14th, there were over 2,000 people who came to go through, to view, and to experience the peace and the joy of being in the house of the Lord. Some of the comments and experiences of people this week have been phenomenal. We had a former mayor that went in and spent some time in what we call the celestial room. Some have kind of likened this particular room in the temple as being God's living room. And in the celestial room, there's no instruction, there's no talking per se. It's a place for reflection, for meditation, for prayer. And as we observe this dear, wonderful man, a former mayor of our city, very active in civic and charitable causes throughout the city for many, many years. He had his head bowed, and as he was personally praying and pondering, it was interesting to hear what he had to say after he came outside the temple and was talking with us. He stated that he loves his faith and his church, but he feels that when he does go to services, that there are so many distractions that it's hard to feel the Spirit. And he said that in the celestial room of the temple, he experienced something that he had never really quite liked that experience before, in terms of the peace and the comfort and the joy and the feeling of the Spirit that was with him. So having had those kinds of experiences, and I could give you dozens and dozens of other individuals who've had similar experiences. I had one man who, very active in the community, said to me, I need you to explain something to me. While I was in the celestial room, I literally felt as if God was talking to me personally. Tell me how that works. How is that possible? Well, I would testify to you that when this temple is dedicated literally as the house of the Lord, those who have the opportunity to enter into the temple have that experience on a regular basis. So if you live anywhere near the Memphis area, I would encourage you during the week of April, let's see, starting on Monday, April the 15th, through Saturday, April the 20th, to take advantage of the public tours that are being made available to anyone who would choose to come. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, those tours will begin starting at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and will go all the way through till 8 p.m. each of those evenings. Then additionally, on Friday and Saturday, the tours will begin at 8 a.m. and go until that night, till 8 p.m. All are welcome. There is a way to make a reservation, but I would say to you that any of you who could come, just come at a time that's convenient to you between those dates of April the 15th and April the 20th. The link where you can see a video that talks about the temple is very simple. It's churchofjesuschrist.org/temples/open-houses. 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 Again, you can make a reservation through that, but if that's not easily accomplished, please come at your convenience and experience the spiritual joy of being literally in the house of the Lord. Now, today I'd like to talk a little bit about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the time that we have available. As we think about this week and the events that come with what we refer to as Good Friday, with the atoning sacrifice made by our Lord and Savior, and then the marvelous miracle of his resurrection 3 days later, I would like to share with you a profound document known as the Living Christ, the Testimony of the Apostles of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. This was issued in January the 1st in the year 2000, and it was written by and sustained and signed by the 12 apostles of the Church of Jesus Christ, along with the three members of the first presidency, including the president of the church and his two counselors. So each of these 15 men we recognize as prophets, seers, and revelators. And therefore, they speak with authority, having been ordained such. So let me share with you this wonderful document as we ponder on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, this came on the heels of a Christmas season, so you'll understand this language. As we commemorate the birth of Jesus Christ 2 millennia ago, we offer our testimony of the reality of his matchless love and the infinite virtue of his great atoning sacrifice. None other has had so profound an influence upon all who have lived and will yet live upon the earth. He was the great Jehovah of the Old Testament, the Messiah of the New, Under the direction of his father, he was the creator of the earth. Quote, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. John 1:3. Though sinless, he was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. He went about doing good, Acts 10:38. Yet was despised for it. His gospel was a message of peace and goodwill. He entreated all to follow his example. He walked the roads of Palestine, healing the sick, causing the blind to see, and raising the dead. He taught the truths of eternity, the reality of our premortal existence, the purpose of our life on earth, and the potential for the sons and daughters of God in the life to come. He instituted the sacrament as a reminder of his great atoning sacrifice. He was arrested and condemned on spurious charges, convicted to satisfy a mob, and sentenced to die on Calvary's cross. He gave his life to atone for the sins of all mankind. His was a great vicarious gift in behalf of all who have ever lived upon the earth, or who would ever live upon the earth. We solemnly testify that his life, which is central to all human history, neither began in Bethlehem nor concluded on Calvary. He was the firstborn of the Father, the only begotten Son in the flesh, the Redeemer of the world. He rose from the grave to become the first fruits of them that slept. 1 Corinthians 15:20. As risen Lord, he visited among those he had loved in life. He also ministered among his other sheep, John 10:16, in ancient America. In the modern world, he and his father appeared to the boy Joseph Smith, ushering in the long promised dispensation of the fullness of times, Ephesians 1:10. Of the living Christ, the prophet Joseph wrote, quote, his eyes were as a flame of fire. The hair of his head was white like the pure snow. His countenance shone above the brightness of the sun. And his voice was as the sound of the rushing of great waters, even the voice of Jehovah saying, quote, I am the first and the last. I am he who liveth. I am he who was slain. I am your advocate with the Father. Doctrine and Covenants 1:10, 3 and 4. Of him, the prophet also declared, now after the many testimonies which have been given of him, this is the testimony, last of all, which we give of him, that he lives. For we saw him even on the right hand of God, and we heard the voice bearing record that he is the only begotten of the Father. That by him and through him and of him, the worlds are and were created, and the inhabitants thereof are begotten sons and daughters unto God. Found in Doctrine and Covenants 76, verses 22 through 24. We declare in words of solemnity that his priesthood and his church have been restored upon the earth. Quote, built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Ephesians 2:20. We testify that he will someday return to earth, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. Isaiah 40, verse 5. He will rule as King of Kings and reign as Lord of Hosts. And reign as Lord of Lords. And every knee shall bend, and every tongue shall speak in worship before him. each of us will stand to be judged of him according to our works and the desires of our hearts. We bear testimony as his duly ordained apostles that Jesus is the living Christ, the immortal Son of God. He is the great King Emmanuel, who stands today on the right hand of his Father. He is the light, the life, and the hope of the world. His way is the path that leads to happiness in this life and eternal life in the world to come. God be thanked for the matchless gift of his divine love. Signed by the First Presidency and the Quorum of the 12 Apostles of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I would just simply bear testimony to you that as I have read these words many, many times since January of 2000, I am continually and eternally grateful for the reminder and the remembrance of this knowledge, these pearls of wisdom shared by these brethren to remind each of us of the joy and the happiness that we have in communing with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is our advocate with the Father, and it's through him that life eternal is possible. I love Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I recognize that as his disciple, it is incumbent upon me to do all that I can to not only love and serve him, but in that process, to love my neighbor and to serve my neighbor as much as I am capable. It's a wonderful thing to know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's a marvelous thing to know that through his atonement and his resurrection, that we can return to be with our Father in heaven, even though we all are imperfect souls and have sinned. But through the Savior's atonement, our sins can be washed away and we can be forgiven of those sins. We are told in Scripture that no unclean thing can dwell in the presence of God. So it's only through Jesus Christ and his atonement that we can enter into the presence of Heavenly Father. Praise be to the Son. What a wonderful, wonderful gift Heavenly Father has given us by allowing his Son, his only begotten Son, sacrifice himself for each of us. It's my prayer and hope that as we enter into this week of Easter celebrations, and I know it's tradition that we have Easter egg hunts and Easter baskets for the kids and grandkids, and that we enjoy all the festivities of Easter with the bright colored clothing and the celebrations that we enjoy. But I hope that each of us, like we try to do at Christmas, that we don't get caught up in all the festivities to the point that we forget the real purpose of what this season represents. Each and every day, I would hope that we will be reminded of our relationship with our Father in heaven and express in our prayers our gratitude and thanks to him for his Son, Jesus Christ, and for what he has done for each of us. The miracle of the atonement is universal. It is for all mankind. And I've been reminded as I've entered into the house of the Lord numerous times these last days that one of the great blessings that the house of the Lord provides is the ability to provide saving ordinances for those who have passed on, perhaps individuals who over the millennium have never heard the name of Jesus Christ, have never had the opportunity to accept him as their Lord and Savior, and thus might be condemned to an eternity of punishment because of not having done that in mortality. But I testify to you that a loving, merciful Heavenly Father has a plan whereby all of his children can return to him. And it's through the ordinances of the temple that that can be fulfilled, coupled with what marvelous miracle the Savior has performed through his atonement. I love my Lord and Savior with all of my heart, might, mind, and strength. It's my prayer that each of you will have a rekindling of your love for the Savior this week, and that you'll have a renewed desire to serve him with all of your heart, might, mind, and strength. As we go forth as disciples of Christ, may we be an influence for good within our communities, but especially within our families. May we express tender love to our loved ones each and every day. Help to build up and to encourage each other and to strengthen one another and to have faith with one another and to enjoy the blessings of the gospel of Jesus Christ with one another. These would be things that I would hope and pray that each of us will accomplish as we come upon this great and noble and wonderful season as we celebrate the sacrifice that our Savior has made for us. I would like to take a moment to read a scripture or two here. You know, as the Savior was hung on the cross and was being given a lot of ridicule, and the sign that was put over him, calling him the King of the Jews. Remember the story that there were two thieves, one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled. I'm reading in Mark chapter 15, starting here with verse 27. And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads, and saying, Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priest, mocking, said among themselves with the scribes, He saved others, himself he cannot save. So as we remember, he enjoyed perhaps a bad word. He endured much during that time. And I'm often reminded of the different words and things that he spoke while on the cross. Imagine saying something like, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And the utter desperation he must have felt when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And think about how difficult that must have been for Heavenly Father to hear those words from his son as he suffered. Well, I just want you to know that I love each and every one of you, and I pray for your blessings to be manifested this week in amazing ways as we draw close in our remembrance of our Savior and recognize that without him, our futures would be very bleak. But we have the benefit of knowing our ultimate destination. And so therefore, we should be very happy people as believers in Christ and not allow the adversary to discourage us. Because God has given each of us the power. Yep, Lucifer may bruise our heel, but we have the ability to crush his head. And with that power gives us strength. And with that strength gives us hope. And with that hope, it gives us faith to know that we are in the tender care of Jesus and our Father in heaven. I testify to you of these things. Do so humbly and sincerely. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. We look forward to the next time we can be together. And may you have a blessed and holy week.
Mm-hmm.
produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.